to the Alfredston article, and that is in itself quite concerning to us. But what we did is we immediately kind of put a plan into action. My business manager, Jennifer Merritt, contacted the San Diego County Office of Education Loss Control Department, and we asked them for assistance. They acted immediately, and they sent out an assessor to assess the EMF levels here at Alpine Elementary School. That was last Wednesday. And this gentleman, Ben Flores, released his report to the county as well as us, and we quickly put it online for everyone to read. So we do take this serious, but remember, we're educators. And so to err on the side of caution, we worked with the San Diego County Office of Education and the Joint Powers Authority. And the Joint Powers Authority is a body within the county office that represents 65 districts around the county of Imperial County. And what they did is they went out and they hired a third-party assessor who came in today to take readings here on Alpine Elementary School. So this is an outside person, someone that has not done any work for any entity here in San Diego County. And so preliminary results from this gentleman showed that the tests that he took corroborated the results that were done by Ben Flores last Wednesday. We should receive a report, a full report, on Friday, and as soon as we do and we get clearance from the county office, we will release that to the public. But in a conversation just before this meeting started, the assessor said that his results mirrored the same results that were done by Ben Flores. And so there's no exact science in this, but the assessor told us that the results kind of mirror what a person deals with in the everyday life in our electronic world. So we are very concerned, and I'm very concerned for the health of our students as well as the health of my staff. So we will wait for this report to come out, and if there's any concerns with that, we do have plans that we can enact and we can put in place quickly if this is deemed an unsafe environment. But at this moment, we're hearing that it's a safe environment for my staff as well as the students in Alpine Elementary School. We understand your concerns, and we're doing the best that we can to make sure that we have a safe environment for our students. And at this time, what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite Supervisor Jacob up to the podium.
Whoops. I guess that's one way to grab the microphone. Anyway, good evening, everyone. And Bruce, thank you for putting this together so people could come, and I sure hope that Dr. Wooten comes. She is the public health director for the County of San Diego, and she is coming, I hope, on her way to share with you her perspective from a public health aspect. And she really is the only one, I think, that is here on the stage that has that kind of expertise and that kind of experience that would be here tonight to share with you. The Alpine School District, the board members, and Superintendent Cochran, again, thank you for putting this together. I understand the concern. I, along with many of you, found out about this through reading the newspaper, and then a lot of you are really quick and on the ball because you know how to use email. And I thank you for that and bringing this to my attention. I think clearly the recent reports of the high EMF readings in this area do raise serious questions. And all of you in Alpine deserve answers. Excuse my voice a little bit. I'm getting over a sinus infection, so you forgive me. No hugs tonight either. State regulators never should have allowed the power link to be built. But now that it's here, they need to take a hard look at any potential effects of that power line. Last week, I wrote a letter and I asked the California Public Utilities Commission for an immediate investigation and an independent review of this matter. The CPUC is the regulatory agency that has the responsibility to take charge and to answer these questions and answer them directly. There's a disagreement, from what I know, there's a disagreement among scientists over the health impacts of prolonged exposure to increased levels of EMF. But some experts really are concerned. California does not have EMF criteria for when new schools, they do have EMF criteria when new schools are built, but there is no criteria for a school that exists today, such as Alpine Elementary School or any of the schools that are in this area that were built some time ago. There's also no state or federal standards limiting the exposure to EMS from transmission lines or substations. I found that quite significant. At least three states, Florida, New York, and Minnesota, limit the intensity of magnetic fields from transmission lines due to health concerns, but not California. In fact, the California Public Utilities Commission only requires the bare minimum from utility companies, low-cost or no-cost mitigation measures. That's what the CPUC calls them. I call it irresponsible. Again, as I said earlier, I called on the state to immediately investigate the matter, and the findings must be independently reviewed. I think that's the only way we're going to know the facts in this matter. I know that the superintendent mentioned there have been some readings and the county offices come into play, but there are some disparities in what I have read, what you have read, and that needs to be cleared up, and the community needs answers and good, solid answers that you can rely on. SDG&E has said it plans to take its own measurements. What do you think about that? I think it means nothing. It means nothing. This giant transmission line was dumped on this community without the community's consent in the first place. And whatever EMF readings they come up with, they cannot be the authority in this particular situation. The investigation needs to be immediate, it needs to be thorough, and it needs to be now. And I will continue to press the CUP for an answer. We were in contact with them late today, once again, after the letter was sent last week. We've been in contact every day to try to get an answer to my request for this immediate investigation and for them to step in and to give this community some answers. So stand by, we will let you know, and thank you for allowing me to be here tonight, and thank you again, Bruce, for hosting me.
Thank you, Supervisor Jacob. What I'd like to do is call up Don Parent at this time. It appears Dr. Whitten is delayed in traffic. Thank you. Well, we'll probably not be doing any measurements, but I want to tell you the SDG&E's perspective on EMF. First of all, we take this very seriously. We have established a group that responds to EMF calls. We have a website that covers the information pretty thoroughly, and then has a form that you can fill out if you'd like, where you can call to have someone come out to your property and do readings if you'd like. I've been out on some of those calls, and it's very informative, and it really puts everything in perspective. They do reads outside. If you have a power line or a corridor near your house, that's usually when you get the call, and they will do the reads outside. They'll come inside, they'll do them in your kitchen and different rooms in your house to turn on your microwave oven and stand there and take those reads and you can compare what they are. As Supervisor Jacob said, that the jury's out, the studies, there's been thousands of them, there is no conclusive evidence that EMF causes any kind of health risk. However, there are some that, while not conclusive in the scientist's mind, although I guess some of the scientists would say they are, it still leaves the door open. And the Public Utility Commission has set standards for SDG&E and the other utilities on what to do, even though there's no numbers related to safe or unsafe. So here's a couple of things that we do. What they have directed the utilities to do is to, as Supervisor Jacob mentioned, to take low and no-cost measures to reduce the EMF readings. That doesn't mean it reduces health risks or anything else. The only thing they have to go on is this measurement. And so what we do is we will we'll take measurements either, or we'll take measures to either move the facility away from the public corridor, or in some cases we have some engineering techniques that can change the phasing of how the wires are either on the pole or in the conduits in the ground, which actually does reduce the EMF readings. So in the case of Sunrise Powerlink, we did that. There's also the commission says you can spend about 4% of the total cost of the project, as long as you can prove or model a 15% reduction in what the expected readings would be. So we've done that. In addition, as far as the schools go, where the schools have a standard of, I think it's 37 or 39 and a half feet from the building, the new building, as the supervisor said, away from any kind of electrical facility. I think it's to the property line. And while we were not obligated to do anything because it doesn't have anything to do with SDG&E, those standards are for schools, we did work with the schools, and we actually moved the line further across the street in front of the school, just so that it did meet those standards that the school has established. So we did some things to work with the schools. Again, our policy is that we go with what the health organizations and the PUC direct us to do. And you really have to understand, and I hope the doctor comes soon, because you have EMF probably just about everywhere you go. I mean, you have EMF coming out of your phone. And when I find that someone goes out and does some reads, I don't know what the qualifications are for the people that did the reads, and I'm not here to question it, but I did see one that said it was taken in a pickup truck going down the road. You can put probably a pickup truck in the middle of the field, and the motor's running, there's electronics in it, there probably will be some EMF read, and if the guy had a phone in his pocket, there might be even more. So these are things that my concern is bringing all you people out here, and I definitely respect you all for being here, and I don't question your interest in this subject, because if I had kids here, or if I was just hanging around, I would want to know what's going on. And you're not supposed to know all this stuff. So I applaud you, and I applaud the school for setting this thing up as rapidly as they did. But there are EMF readings probably coming off these fluorescent lights, but it drops significantly. It may be 5 to 20 milligauss if you hold the meter up to the light, but sitting down on the floor, you get about 40 inches away, it goes down to like 0.1 to 0.3. So that's why we're all living in this day with all kinds of neat electronic devices, because it's been pretty accepted that we're in no harm, but I'll leave that to the doctor when she gets here. So,
thank you, Mr. Perry. What I'd like to do the chairman for the Alpine Planning Group would like to say a few words.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to start off by saying I really do appreciate Bruce for putting this together. I'm here because I think this is a community issue in addition to our school's issue. We have businesses, we have restaurants, we have a lot of homes along the boulevard, and so obviously this is at the forefront tonight because of our kids. I also want to be here because I want you to know that you have elected officials and people sitting up here tonight who have kids, who go to school here on the boulevard. I have twin daughters. They don't go to Alpine Elementary because they're in preschool, but they go to school right here on the boulevard. And so this is something that concerns all of us. And it concerns us, obviously, for a number of reasons. One of them is because a lot of this is unknown. I know the two guys who did the testing, Roby and Mike, and I appreciate them doing the testing. I think it's important. It was important to get that information out. And then I think the next step was important to hire additional professionals to do more testing, because some of the testing was done specifically at the road. And I think the important thing was finding out more about EMF exposures throughout the campuses, throughout the restaurants that are off the road a little bit, and finding out more about those exposure levels and what they're at, because they do differ as you go away from the road. As a chair of the planning group, I've had a few meetings with members of the PTA and the members of the Alpine Education Foundation. We've discussed commissioning independent reports based on this concern that I hear everybody I speak with, that they don't trust the CQUHC and they don't trust SDG&E's reports. I would say I trust the school district, and I trust the school district's reports that they're doing right now, and I think they're doing a great job of responding to it. But I think it's important for you guys to know this isn't any issue that we're ever going to ignore or ignore any of the risks, because we're in this with you. I'm vested. I lived here, you know, for a long time. I wish I was up here when Diane was fighting for us in the power loop. And so I think we're very fortunate to have somebody like Diane in our corner, and I think it's important to better understand the science, to better understand what the levels are as you go throughout the boulevard and throughout Alpine, and I think we're all committed to doing that. So, that's it, Ben. Ready?
Okay, at this time what we'd like to do is invite you to come up along the center line there if you have a question for any of the panel members. I do apologize, we wish we would have Dr. Whitten here.
Hello, my name is Ray Lutz, and I am an engineer. I actually used to solve problems in school regarding power line and where the energy is. And when the lines are way up in the air, there's most of the energy, according to these problems that we solve, flows in the air between the ground and the lines. It doesn't actually flow in the wires. So you don't actually want to be under the wires. You don't want to live under these wires and really go there. And that's why most of the birds don't like to go under these wires. They go over them, and that's one of the problems with these flight paths. Now, I've worked on the Sunrise Power Line not as energetically as I would have liked because I was working to stop Blackwater and Potrero at the time. But after that was stopped, then we moved over to this. The problem with what I hear so far is I'm really disappointed that SDG&E hasn't provided any real facts here. Don Perrin is just a PR guy, and I don't see any engineers here with diagrams of where the conduits are, how far deep they are, and so forth, and what the measurements are. He says, as his first comment, we're not going to make any measurements. Why not? Why aren't you making any measurements? It's a good question. Doesn't SDG&E measure what they're doing? I know we may not trust it, but the firm should be measuring these lines so that they are safe, regardless of whether the CPUC says you can be paid for it. You can still measure those. Now, the Sunrise Power Lake, you can hear the frustration in my voice because we fought hard to stop this line going through here. And unbelievably, they decided to put it right in the middle of Alpine under the ground on the street. You know, we said, how deep is it going to be? 6 feet. Well, that's the bottom of the trench, not where the lines actually are. The lines are somewhere in between 6 feet. Is it actually shielded? Where are the diagrams here of the shielding? I don't see anything. These are good questions. I mean, I don't hear any answers, of course. Maybe they're not going to answer these questions. Don Parent doesn't know the answer. But look, folks, thank you for being here because this is how we get stuff done. My question to Diane, will the county become a party at the CPUC and fight for the people here? When it was going in, the county was not a party in the proceeding. You let the people try to do that. The county has the big guns. They have the attorneys to go in there and fight against the utilities, which they have unlimited funds. Guess who pays for those? We do. We get to pay for all of their attorneys. They have a whole board of them. And I've been up there at these proceedings. Unfortunately, you can't say CPUC started an investigation because how much can we trust the CPUC? Almost to zero. They do nothing. They're lapdogs. Not other drugs. And, oh, the person is here. I'm sorry. Those are my questions. I hope that they get answered sometime in the near future because I thought when I came up here, SDG&E would have their engineers here with diagrams where the streets are, where the emissions are, measurements away. First thing out of his mouth, we're not going to measure anything. Get busy, SDG&E. We want you to know the facts. Thank you.
At this point, I'd like to please welcome Dr. Wilma Wooten to the podium. And then after Dr. Wooten, what we'd like to do is kind of resume the question period. If you do have a comment, if you could kind of in a general format, limit it to 3 minutes so that we can make sure that everyone who wants to speak in the audience does have a turn to speak.
Thank you, and thank you for asking me to be at this event. It's never easy when these type of situations come up in our community. In public health, we like to look at the science and the evidence, and unfortunately, we don't have all of the evidence and the science to show that there is no association or cause and effect, and as a result of that, we have to be very cautious, and I am certainly aware and sensitive to the fact that everyone's concerned about the impact of the electromagnetic fields on the health of the children. Previous studies in the early 2000s show that there was some association with leukemia and brain cancers, but again, the cause and effect is the issue. And just as we've had with other issues, when we don't have evidence that supports that there is no risk, then we have to err on the side of caution. So that's my comment for you tonight. And I just applaud the community for bringing this issue up and having us involved now. It really would have been involved if the last individual stated it would have been great if we had been involved in the beginning. So, thank you.
So those of you who have a question, if you'd like to come up. And once again, if you have a comment, we'd like to hear it. But please remember that limit it to 3 minutes so that we can get everyone that does have a comment up here.
Hello, my name is Wendy Padilla.
Okay,
I'm a great-grandmother who lives in Pitts Valley, 39 years. What I want to know is why is that unit going down Alpine Boulevard? What in the hell was that about? Wasn't there some other place to put it? I'll let you decide. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mike Milligan. I'm the one that started this whole thing. But let me just go back when the Sunrise Power Link first went in. We took EMF readings along the same route that we took just recently. And the reason we took those readings, because we were concerned, because I was reading some information from England where there is documented evidence that there is 3,000 cases of leukemia with children from being underneath power lines or involved in EMF. So it is there. There is a real cause for a problem. Now, I know out there on the street, when you move towards the school, the EMF levels are going to drop. That's normal. They're supposed to. But we took the reading again because what has not been brought forth tonight is that SDG&E is getting ready to increase the power by 20%. What do you think that's going to do to the EMF? It's going to raise it dramatically. That's the reason we did the readings again, for that very reason.
And I,
think SDG&E needs to address that issue because it's paramount that they do something about it and mitigate the EMF. Do not allow them to go forward and bring additional power across the Sunrise Power Line. They have tricked us more than once. They have done a total hardening program out in the backcountry, and the fire problem is still there. Because when you have tremendous heat, the power poles distort, and they fall down. They were saying it because they want to remove the wooden poles because they're a problem. But it didn't say in any of the ERI reports that the helicopters can't fly there and put out the fires because they can't get around those poles. That's a convenient non-disclosure. So this is what we have been faced with the power link when it first went in. I opposed it. I went to the forestry department and tried to stop it at that time. The power link was trying to come down my road. We put a stop to that, and they moved it up on the hill. So the power link people are not good people for Alpine. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Thank
you. Parent, and I have family members and loved ones who live all along Alpine Boulevard, and I think I speak in general for most of the parents too. Mr. Parent, I would like to know as a representative of SDG&E and also for you, Ms. Jacobs, too, what's the plan? What do you guys plan on doing? How many more kids do you have to lose? I know that I actually volunteer for Team Parker for Life, and I have been since the beginning, and I know that there are parents in here who have lost children to cancer already. Do we have to lose more? Is there going to be that loss in order for SDG&E to do something? Do you guys have a plan? What is it?
That one doesn't seem to work.
I mean, I'm sorry, Ms. Jacobs, I don't mean to be disrespectful at all. I know that you're for the people. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to Mr. Parent either, but I think I speak for everybody who would like to know. They're saying that you don't even want to take a reading. So as a concerned parent and people about mine, you're kind of giving us a bad vibe. We want to know, what do you plan on doing in the future? We don't want to lose kids.
Hold it really close. Hold it really close.
There are not two other votes on the board of supervisors to engage on the power link issue or on this issue at this point. Now, on the power link, I think most of you know what Alpine. I was a staunch opponent to that power line. There's a 1,000-page document, the environmental impact report, that points out the severe fire risks and the potential danger and the fact that we did not need it for our energy future now or ever. However, it's here. The County of San Diego does not have the authority to insert itself into this particular situation. That's why I mentioned earlier that whether we like it or not, the regulatory authority by law is the California Public Utility Commission. They have the responsibility in order to come in and give you the answers and give the readings. You can judge for yourself. As Wilma said, Dr. Wood said a minute ago, there's no conclusive evidence either way. John said earlier, there's no conclusive evidence.
But that's here.
There's no conclusive evidence that it does not cause problems.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would always err. Firstly, I would err on the side of caution. Well, that's why I stepped out on my own as your elected representative on the power line and also on this issue. You needed some elected official to call on the PUC to do what they are supposed to be doing. So we'll see. Then we'll see what the outcome is. But I don't know if that answers your questions, but Don, I'm not going to sit next to you anymore.
It's okay, but hold it really close. Go ahead.
Well, let me try to answer some questions. And I do not have all the answers. I guarantee that. And I don't know that whoever we could bring here, lead of engineers, would have all the answers. But let me give you a little background. First of all, the question, maybe I need to restate this thing about not doing reads. I thought I was stating that very clearly. It was kind of a funny thing since nobody wanted us to do the reads anyway. We have people available, like I said, that you call in, we will conduct reads at your property. We have about 28 reads scheduled in the next 3 days from individual property owners who have asked us to come and take reads on their property. And as I said, I've been out on these reads. They're very informative. They really help the customer understand what's going on. And they're putting things in perspective as far as what does this really mean? And we explain that there's no conclusive evidence, but we also show the difference again, like I said before, all we have is numbers to go by. And when those numbers drop off so significantly, usually the customer recognizes that they're living with EMF all day long, whether it's at their home, or it's at the school, or their office. There's some level of EMF recording. I don't know if you're ever going to escape that unless you want to go into the woods somewhere. I mean, that's pretty much the only way to escape it. So, I think we live with this. The question is, what does it do, and how is it harmful? And all the studies have come to the conclusion that this is how the utility is treated and is asked to perform its operation. We have, we deal with a couple of hazardous materials, natural gas and electricity. They can be great for you, but they can kill you. So we have employees. We've got 5,000 employees at SPGE. We have concern for them. We have concern for our customers. We've been doing this for about 130 years. A lot of you have relatives and friends that work at SPGE. They've had decent careers. They've been your neighbors. They've been your friends. We take them. We value them very, very highly. So we do have a big focus on safety. So that's one thing that you should all know. We don't take this lightly. We keep up on all the studies. We send our folks to seminars and conferences on this topic every year. We're here because we really like to ease your mind and put things in perspective. It's very easy to throw things out there without clarification on what it means, and that's what we're hoping to do here tonight. But obviously, we're not trusted, and that's okay. But I would like to put some perspective also on the Sunrise Power Line. Now, this was not SDG&E's route. I mean, SDG&E had a route to go away through the desert, away from impacting private properties and people's lives. But when it was opposed by some people in this room, it was forced to take this route, which forced it down Alpine Boulevard. It could have gone overhead, but people said, no, there's too many homes in the area, so let's put it down Alpine Boulevard. That was a Public Utility Commission decision. They created a route for this project. SDG&E built it, but it was not our route, and it wasn't our choice. We really would have preferred to put it through the desert. That is what it is. We did everything we were asked. The county put a lot of material on. We built this project. Failing the county's oversight was on the street. It was on the digging and the traffic and the repaving. And we did a lot of extra things. You may or may not notice, but If you recall how the street looked before we started, it doesn't look like that.
It's we like now. It. We like it.
Obviously, if you're laying in a home with somebody on that reading, maybe there's danger there. I don't know how you work that out, how you square that up. We don't know what the level is and what the exposure
that's
is.
That's the point. You don't know.
That's right. I don't have an answer for you in that. I can only tell you what the law requires us to do.
But at least three other options were better than what it's got now.
One last thing before I leave, I just want to say I think it's important to remember that he's just one man. He's not corporation.
That's right.
He's just sent here as probably the sole corporation. However, the only one to show that's true. However, let's just keep in mind that it's who we're angry at.
Yeah.
But what's the plan? You stated over what's the plan. I think the states had a better idea of what her plan is. Like, what I'm saying is, what are you going to do about it? There's already parents who are losing children. Does SDG&E have a plan? That's all I want to get out there. And if you guys don't, you need to have one. We're already losing kids.
And
time to have a plan and communicate that with us. You said just now that unless you put it in the woods, unless you got away from all EMS and all electrical equipment, I think most of us, especially the older people, moving out to Alpine was the woods for them. Especially this woman who says she's been here for how long? 39 years. 50 years. That's the woods. They moved out to the woods. You guys brought that out here to them.
I know, but people that moved out here, with all due respect, we request service from San Diego County. We bring service.
I get it. Just a plan. That's all. Just let us know what you're going to do.
Serve San Diego.
That's right. It's a completely.
It doesn't serve San Diego. It doesn't serve any of us.
It goes to North County.
So that's not your argument.
You're going to have a lot of wizzy people coming out.
My talk is going to be ruined because of your cowardice. Ruined.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank
you. Not to mention, my daughter walks past that every day to try to run and be healthy. Thanks.
Thank you all for coming tonight. I guess she said part of what I wanted to say. I was shocked, though, to find out about this whole situation from my sister who lives in Pennsylvania. She's actually the one who alerted me to this. She found out about it before I did it and lived here. So that was really interesting to me. So I feel like the communication luckily, our community has found the word to one another fast enough that it's kind of scary to find out that way. And I don't really understand how far this goes. We're talking about Alpine Boulevard and the school here, but we live in a very small condo complex exactly parallel to here, right on Marhol. And we're helping raise our daughter there, and so we don't know the ramifications of the area we're talking about versus the coverage here. We're just talking about this direct area here or a parallel spot to this, too. I mean, I'm feeling like we're probably going to leave tonight and really not have any answers.
Yeah. Not with Don Parents answering.
I was hoping maybe we'd have more answers and information.
Excuse me. I've actually measured the boulevard, and 200 feet on either side of the boulevard, the EMFs read over 10 milligrams. 200 feet on both sides. So I think one of the problems too is there, as I said earlier, there are no state or federal standards. The regular reading, what does that really mean? And I think that that also needs to be explained.
Hi, thank you guys for coming. My name is Bree Rowland, and I don't really have any questions, but a year ago I lost my daughter to cancer. She was 2.5. And she fought for 13 months. I was pregnant, and I worked on this boulevard while I was pregnant. We don't live much farther off the boulevard. I understand you're going to defend yourself. That's what you do. But when you go to sleep at night, would you care if it was your child? If it was your grandchild? Would you feel it was okay for someone that you love to be here, to be in this situation? Because it's not okay. She shouldn't have died. I'm not saying that she got cancer because of this. But it's more about fighting for those kids. And if there is even a slight possibility that someone, a child, could get cancer, that you make an action and you go out and you show us that you're making an action and you show us that you care. Because right now we're just hearing excuse after excuse after excuse. That's all we hear. We want to see action. We want to see people out here making a difference and showing us. Like the first gentleman said, why are there not more people here with diagrams and showing us and proving us and showing us the facts? Yeah, you can tell us the facts. That's right. I can tell you lots of facts. What does that even mean? You don't have anything to back it up, then it's just words. That's all that any of us are hearing. It's just words. It's not meaning anything. And tomorrow it could be another kid that has cancer and another kid. And God forbid it was your child or your grandchild. And not just you, but anyone, you know, in SPG&E or whoever it is that is working on this. And I just hope that whatever decision you make, that you can go to sleep at night and you can sleep soundly. And if you can't, then there's a problem. And if you can't go to sleep knowing that there's a problem, then that's even worse. And I really hope that that's not the case and that this money isn't more important than our children, because they're the future of this world and they're dying and no one seems to care.
Use really close. Put the knife for really close.
For anyone who has a report of cancer in their children, our job as public health officials is to monitor and provide surveillance for chronic diseases, for cancer, or for issues that are result of exposures in the community, like the issue we're talking about tonight. So I will give you information. We have a website, actually, about cancer concerns at the county, and we can get that information and work with the California Cancer Registry to see if there is a larger occurrence of cancers in this area.
Excuse me, I have a question.
And we will provide me with that information, and we will give that to the cancer registry.
I have one question. I know that some of the data is coming to the bureau regarding the possible connections in the future.
Yes.
And the
because, and I'm not advocating socialized medicine, but they have a bigger data group to be able to study and to pull this information from. Are you lacking that ability?
No, the California Cancer Registry, all of the diagnoses of cancer that are made in the hospitals are reported to the California Cancer Registry. So we have a good system to monitor cancers in California.
Okay, good. All right. Remember, I was going to ask, I can't hear because I heard that the EMF was 5 times the normal level, so on and so forth. And was a reading that was done. What studies has SDG&E done, or anyone done, that refute the 5 times?
I'd like to speak to that directly. Just last week, last Wednesday, we had the Joint Office of Education have one of their employees come out, and the levels were significantly lower.
What does significantly mean? And the other thing I want to ask, just for everyone up here who's defending everything that's happening right now, whatever the current levels are, and you don't live on Alpine Boulevard, if you're going to put a device in your house that emits the same level of that, if we're dealing with Alpine Boulevard, start there.
Yeah.
And then you can go from there. That's my solution to everyone up here on the board.
Board of Directors of SDG&E, have them do that and put it in their house.
I looked at Bruce's report. I think everybody is looking for answers, looking for more information. One of the I heard something mentioned about value. They study these in milligrams, right? I'm not an expert on this. All I know is that they study this in milligrams, and wherever they do report significant levels, correct me if I'm wrong. For prolonged exposure for milligrams, they're looking at levels of 2.5 and below, or 1 and below. I've looked at the county of the report that the superintendent conducted on the campus, and all the levels of water exposure are below that here on the campus. Mm-hmm. The highest level they got was at the street, and it was 6.6. But the level is higher.
Other schools, and they are on that list. Our charges will buy them, are on the street.
The gentleman is correct, but if we ask our assessor, there was that electrical conduit right there. That's something that the gentleman is
going to
I can see. So when these issues are presented to us, we are working with our maintenance staff to mitigate this stuff. These are things that are being brought to our attention, and we take this very seriously. We're not pushing it off. So when we get those and we get the second report and those results are the same, then we will push into action to mitigate these things.
The electrical is not a mitigating factor. The end result is what it is here.
I understand that, sir. But I have at our disposal experts that we can go to, that we can take that reading tape that can correct that. That's what we will do as a district.
Okay, first of all, I'm a mother of two daughters who attend med school, and I also live on Kent County. Okay. My biggest concern is you're saying that you're going to mitigate it. Okay, well, I don't understand that, because you guys are closing the library at Alpine Elementary this year. It's going to be closed at the end of the year, and they're going to be walking on the boulevard, the 6.6 right there, to the county library next door.
So how are you protecting our children when you're putting them, knowing on your guys' report, the 6.6, on that road?
When we were just made aware of this, man, we were made aware of this information via the outreach site. So when you're bringing this forward, we're going to be with the part, and we're going to address it. Maybe the thing is that our students will stay on our campus, and they won't walk that route to the right angle. So then we go back and we look at what we're doing. This is just a loss of our attention.
I understand that it was just called to your attention, but obviously the people in this room have been on top of this for the last few weeks. Where is the action now? Why aren't you guys talking about it now? Why is it we're going to be getting a group together and discussing this? We're going to make some changes. Why isn't that happening already? You've had a couple of weeks.
We are waiting for the assessment report.
No, you have one. You have a report, your guys' report, says it's 6.6 down there. So why are these issues on the walkway, on that bridge, 6.6? Okay? So how is that not already being discussed? That issue alone, let alone the fact that you go up into campus and we're talking about 2.4 and 3.0 right down here, which are above the level. Why is it taking so long for us as parents to get any sort of answer? We're concerned. And not just about Alpine Elementary. We go grocery shopping in Overton. Okay? My kids walk up and down this boulevard. How am I supposed to think about it? How am I supposed to, as a mother, drop my kids off at this school every single day and not feel guilty that I'm dropping them off not knowing it's safe? Schools are supposed to be like, you guys keep bringing up that at home there's all of these, you know, there's microwaves and there's television. Yeah, my kids aren't required to be in front of a microwave or TV. My children don't have cell phones. Because that's my choice as a parent. I don't have the choice of my child going to school or not. You're here for 8 hours being exposed to them, and we're not getting the answers, which I'm pretty sure all of us are going to leave here without the answers tonight. And we're expecting them. And we're not expecting them in a month. We're expecting them now.
I just have a couple of real quick questions. One from Mrs. Wooten and Ms. Barron. Everyone here keeps talking about being erring on the side of caution. Yet I keep hearing we're waiting to get this result. We're waiting to meet with these people. As Jimmy says, I believe you said 35 feet earlier in the thing, but that doesn't seem like we're erring on the side of caution. Everyone in this room in 2 weeks got very prepared and has a lot of questions. No one up here seems to be prepared with any answers, which we don't understand. And for Ms. Moon, I'm a father of an autistic child. Is the city looking at or preparing to look at what these EMFs can do in terms of special needs children? Or do we have to wait 10 years for those studies to come through before anything is done? And I don't mean to be insulting. I'm just trying to be ahead of the ball. Like, everyone here is trying to be ahead of the ball, but we're not getting that from anywhere else.
I can respond. As far as I'm aware and the evidence that I've heard, there's no linear association between EMF and autism. Really, the studies show an association
and brain cancer.
So those are
but they're not strong enough associations.
No problem, then.
To say a cause and effect. That's
the issue.
And we've got
to. Someone said something about studies in Britain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Internal Medicine Journal, yes. I got it right here, says that children under the age of 5 are 5 times more likely to develop cancer as an adult will live within 328 yards of the power lines. You guys are setting a standard of 35 feet. How is that erring on the side of caution? I'm sorry. Do you guys have a standard?
No.
Can we roll a stand for you guys?
Okay, so
if
the
school
district hits a mistake, you're
going to
run.
So, I'm sorry. Which is the school district standard?
it's not that big of a deal.
We accommodated the school because they have a chance, and so we said, yes, we will move the line. And that's what we did. I explained that clearly. And it is actually under construction. There is a date.
So we don't count.
So if the school's existing, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever the hell you want to do. I don't get that.
In this case, the school was here.
Exactly. The school's been here for many, many years.
But I know you guys are
engineers.
Hold on. I know you guys are engineers and all that. This gentleman here brought up some great points at the beginning. It's not about us expecting you guys to tell. It's about wanting answers. Like, just some responses, not the runaround in the circles. At least direct us where to go to get the answers. And don't just tell me a website. You know, give me specifics. Say, this is the answer. This is what it says. This is what we have for you. You know, I mean, 2 weeks, everyone here seems pretty prepared. I know I'm going over my 3 minutes. Sorry.
No, I have been strategic. I'm not lying. I'm trying to look at this to get what you said. Nobody gives us any standards to look at. I'll be honest, though, one of the things that I found, that I heard there's levels that they provide in Europe for prolonged exposure. That's what the 2.5 is. They also provide clarification on levels for brief exposure, walking by or walking under power. You do this all the time. And so the reason I did it is because I got scared. I needed to find out, what am I doing? Am I taking my kids to school? One of the things I found on there was the level for the 6.6 that was brought up at the screen. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mina cares very much about this. Mina, is that a level for brief exposure that causes concern? Because what I read on all the stuff with Europe, I mean, they're talking about levels well over 100 for initially. Any type of prolonged exposure where you're sitting in a classroom all day, it didn't need to be younger. 1 or under 2.5. And so a level of 6.6 would be extremely concerning if it was in the classroom. But at the street, it wasn't at the level that made me so concerned there's a problem, I'm not going to go on the floor. And part of it is the lack of information and the lack of information on this topic and the lack of information from any government agency in the United States related to this that we can feel comfortable with, at least that our government puts on these numbers. They don't provide it. And so that provides fear. That provides a lot of concern in this audience.
First off, what would we explain as brief and as prolonged? Because those are very generic terms and very general.
I 100% agree. I actually
think. Okay, so I guess my question, I don't mean to interrupt you, is are we going to get some answers at some point? Like, are we going to do this all again in 2 weeks and we're going to have some nice diagrams and some answers, or are we going to wait for our automatic phone call?
Levels that are concerning, we're going to act on it. I mean, if it means that we're going to...
But these levels are concerning. Okay, these are concerning for you personally, correct?
I have a concern, parents, but I take my kids to school and I don't want to hide.
I looked at the numbers, and none of these levels were the levels that I got. All right, these are obvious. There's a website here in Europe and Sweden telling me this is a problem. I'm not saying it's not a problem at the street level. I'm saying for prolonged exposure, for levels that the school district is testing on site, it was below that. And so, but that information hasn't got out. I mean, really. That's part of why I wanted to make sure I was up there to explain. I think we need to look at the situation, we need to continue monitoring it. And if there's a problem, we're all going to be back here again, and we're going to be screening for more information, and we're going to come with that power and power.
Okay, so as the school board, as Bunner, as SDG&E, that information that has to get out, I can rely on you guys are going to get that information to us?
Yes, I met with Bruce this week. They are doing testing on tests. They've done one test already. They're doing another test today, so they don't have those results. We're at commitment Friday of this week. We'll be out on the Alpine community.
because it's important to find out more information about this. I think too concerned. What is I only concern? Without this information, I don't think we need to be pulling our kids out of the school that they tested and all that. I don't want to see Alpine die over this issue.
I saw we were on the side of caution.
I understand that. That's where I call a big discrepancy. The amount of, you turn on your blender, 135 milligrams, and you're using a blow dryer, 77 milligrams.
It will sit for my blender for 8 hours a day.
Exactly. And you don't see that in the either for 8 hours.
Oh, my kids sit in the classrooms for that time, and then they're going to want to go across to those libraries.
That's why I have the answers to make lectures, because the level in the classroom were below 2.5. I can say the levels in the classroom were all below 2.5, right? I don't think anybody here would say nobody's done any research to tell us. I think in Europe they have done studies like that, and they said, hey, for prolonged exposure, it's got to be below either 2.5 or 1. Is my house dangerous? Is that a problem? I think we should just, we need to continue looking at it. We need to make sure we're looking at the right number. Because sometimes these things get distorted, and when I see a tenfold difference between what's allowable and what's, like I said, a hair dryer or anything else, I'd be like, all right, I'm putting in some perspective. My kids are going to hear it too. I care about this as much as anybody else. And I'm not saying that this isn't something.
So does FDJ plan on raising it 20%? Was that true? Are you guys planning on moving
it?
The real fee, then they'll be over.
Do we have a level yet? We're
not getting it right now. So,
I will tell you. It depends on any time of the day. There's different levels of power going through that line. So it could vary throughout the day. So
are you guys increasing the power in the lines that are already in place here?
I'm going to check. It was built for about 1,000 megawatts. I don't know how many can handle any more. It's already at capacity, as far as I know, from the energy.
That is a lot.
So were the measurements made with it turned on, or was it off at that time to make sure they were low?
Well, it's not the continuation measure. Where is the continuation from the time that it's before? Why wasn't it being monitored before? And continuing from the time that it's before? Why wasn't it being monitored before? And continue to monitor. We're 3 years in, you guys. 3 years our kids have been exposed to this. So I want to know how you as SDG&E are not being responsible by having adequate data for all of the people in this room saying, look, this is what it was before. After we powered on, this is what it was. This is what it was 6 months or a year later. This is what. We don't have any of that for us. We're not that concerned. That's the gist of what you're doing. Well, we as parents are concerned. You need to get on top of that.
What I would suggest is we need to get back together. I think all of you are seeing that, first of all, there's a failure in the system. The regulatory agency should be the one that monitored when this line went in. Again, we fought it. We lost. It shouldn't be there, but it is there. I can't help but think if every one of you would email the president of the California Public Utilities Commission and ask, as I have asked, for someone to come down here and meet with this community They are the agency that has the responsibility to monitor and to tell you exactly what they're going to do and what they're going to do with. I can't help but sit here and wonder, what would happen if SDG&E just shut off the power in that line until we get answers?
Exactly. Right there.
Hide behind their regulatory agency. They're responsible, and SDG&E is the one that we need to hold their feet to the fire. They're the ones making money on this, and the regulatory agency is not there to do all this. I disagree with Diane on this. The regulatory agency is our friend. They're the only thing that we have to try to get a handle on this ruthless, money-making, profiteering, lying company. And they are a monopoly, and they will not do it. And look what happened. They're hiding something, folks. They should have been here with this information.
Excuse me. I sent a letter to the governor. I sent a letter to Biden. All right? All of our state senators, we have addressed. As I said, the report of the government started. They have not been responsible. So now it's up to us. Put the heat on SDG&E because they're the ones that cause the problem right from the get-go. They can come up with all that lessons that they're talking about, but it's not true. They are going to increase the slime by 20%. What's that going to do to the media out here? This needs to be stopped. They need to be stopped before they're allowed to continue on and increase the power line power coming in to the Sunrise Power. You need to make sure they stop.
That's right. Yeah. I know that I let SDG&E off the hook with my comments. I'm just sharing with you who has authority, the regulatory authority over SDG&E. The only way sometimes we can get those agencies to act is by a lot of people letting them know enough's enough. But yes, we need to hold SDG&E's feet to the fire. And just the point of saying that he said you have to do it this way. That is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Unacceptable. But what this means to him is I will do everything I can to get answers to this community. I would always err on the side of if there is any kind of risk. Don't build it.
So, if you cut the power,
and that would decrease the risk. I don't know.
Demand it. Demand it.
sure it's definitely not be increasing it.
Ask him to cut the power, Diane. Say, cut the power.
My question is for the doctor. By any chance, does EMS affect well water by random means? Because I have a shallow well, 80 feet. Do you know of any studies?
I'm not aware of any studies showing the direct effect between EMF and well water. Again, there are studies that show we were looking at the windmills and the equipment that was underground, how it affected cows and their milk production. So, again, I don't know of any associated between EMF and the well water.
And then there's the regulations and what's happened out there in the court.
Thank you.
My question is for the school board. We don't want to make alpine elementary a case study. We don't want to learn from this. We want to be proactive and using err on the side of caution. With that being said, what is the school district's plan when you find out that these EMF readings are above standard? What are you going to do with the children? How are you going to relocate them? What are you going to do to protect them immediately and not wait for additional information to come through? What is your plan? When you share that blank, that in detail, what are your steps at the beginning, the middle, and the end?
When we need to do it, prior to doing it, we will share that information with our parents. I would ask Mr. Milligan if that's some kind of report ever did. If I think that could give some help with you,
I would think that they'd have a chance.
Yes, I'd like to work.
Okay.
So, what is your plan?
Our plan is that we have to relocate the students
and the teachers without affecting their income and laying them off.
We will not interrupt the livelihood of our staff, the education of our students. We will be able to put my place in 24 hours.
So students would be relocated to where?
One of our other campuses.
So that campus can take the offset of all these children and these teachers without any interruption?
There'll be minor interruptions, yes. But education of all of our students in the district will move forward if we have to do it.
And that plan will be established when we get through on Friday?
If I need to,
and the readings would be inside the school or would they be in the street?
The readings are in the surrounding area of the campus, as well as in classes.
Okay. Thank you.
How does this affect the charter schools in town on the boulevard, like the Heights?
I'm not part of the charter school, so I can't answer that question.
I'm going to still like bid Sue over the PowerLink. I wasn't going to say anything tonight, but I'm just sitting here listening. And I've been a community activist for over 30 years now, and one thing I have learned, that even though some of the regulatory agencies are effective, you still have to put their feet to the fire. And the PUC, former president of the criminal investigation, there's all kinds of stuff going on with them. But they are still a regulatory agency, and you can't just let them get away with letting SDG&E and others get away with things they shouldn't be getting away with. But unfortunately, the PUC is dominated by people from utilities, and utilities don't want this kind of information out there. They want to suppress it. Even research for this kind of information is suppressed because those universities and those researchers don't get funded. Because there's political pressure. They don't want this information out there. I found this across the board on all kinds of issues like electrical pollution, noise pollution, wind turbines, giant solar projects, all of that. So my advice to you is to educate yourselves. There's a bioemission report. I went to a conference back in Washington, D.C. with international experts, and I'm not convinced there's no problem. I have Lyme disease, I have a stress pain system, and I'm also slightly hypersensitive to electricity. I can't stay in this room much longer. I don't know if it's the lights, if there's Wi-Fi, what, but it's affecting me. So that's the other thing. Hire your own experts. Organize your own meeting where you're in charge. Make the PUC come down here and talk to you. Ask the SBG to come with their experts, but you have your own experts, and then you can weigh between the information that you're getting. Educate yourself, make your own decisions. But don't let other people decide for you what is best for your family. So, also, I would be concerned with Wi-Fi in the schools. That's radio frequency radiation and smart meters. So, just a word of caution. I'm glad to see everybody out here and everybody on the panel. And I wish that the people in Alpine had turned out when we were fighting the power.
Amen.
Supervisor, Dr. Bruce, Travis, Don, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Louis Russo. I'm on the Alpine Community Planning Group, and I was for many years on the San Diego Rural Fire Board. I just have a few things. First, as Supervisor Jacob and I have talked before, the way you get SDG&E to do something or not do something is you force them. They will not do it of their own free will. Now, in San Diego Rural Fire, we had to actually hire a law firm up in Sacramento that only deals with the PUC and sue them. And lo and behold, we got the administrative law judge to do what we wanted done. So don't ever think that out of the goodness of their heart, they're going to do something for you. You have to make. Number two, I'd like to make a recommendation to everyone here. I'd like to ask if Bruce would go ahead and do his test. Supervisor, if you could get the county to do a separate one. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we do our own. There are many people in town who have said they'll put up money for it and stuff. Let them do it. There are people in town who have taken money from SDG&E, some tens of thousands of dollars. If they want to make a test, let them do it. But those of us who have no skin in the game, who have taken no money, who don't owe any allegiance to anyone else, I think we should get together, hire our own person from out of state who has no skin in the game, is not afraid of SDG&E, and do our own. When that is done, then we can decide on a plan. Are we going to move the kids? And the fact of the matter is, he can move them, your parents with the kids, you can move them. Okay. What we are looking at right now is a situation where we got to control it. And this lady right here is, quite frankly, probably the or close to the most powerful person in the county. And she will help us in any way she can. No, I know you are. And so we should rely on her and ask for her help. You got a pencil and a piece of paper? My telephone number is 619-300-0866. And I will help you get a completely independent person from out of town to come and do the test. And I'll help you in any other way, especially with Supervisor Jacob, who work on the line. 619-300-0866, and don't text me in the middle of the night. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I didn't say we just test the school. We test the whole thing. You know, Mike doesn't trust him, and he is justifiable in that. What I saw at San Diego Rural Fire is don't trust him. I'm sorry, second.
Yeah. That's true.
We don't tell them when we're doing the test. Well, if it's already off, we'll find out about it, and we've kind of accomplished what we wanted to send it off. We can figure that out. Look around the room, guys. We can figure it out. Thank you. Thank you, Diane.
Hi,
Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine. I just have two quick questions. Don, one of them is for you. You had mentioned that the power link, the amount of power flowing through the line fluctuates at different times during the day, and I was just wondering, are there certain hours when it typically is the highest or the lowest, if these folks, you know, wanted to take their measures at the highest time, or also for that matter, is it typically higher during the school day or higher at night? Can you give us any guidelines on that? That'd be really helpful to know. The second thing would be the site of the proposed Alpine High School. Obviously, there's a whole court case over who, if anybody, is going to build that, whether it be the Grossmont District or perhaps the Alpine Union District, if the unification issue goes through. But my question is if anybody doing follow-up measures out there? Has anybody talked to the Grossmont, you know, district, or is perhaps the Alpine district looking to get measurements to find out whether that is, in fact, safe? There's a high level of the street, but I don't know how far off it's set. Maybe it's fine further out, but is anybody looking at that?
At this time, we've not looked at it. Grossmont is aware. Their superintendent has read the articles, so he is aware of what's going on. At this time, it is not our property, so it is not our purview. We cannot go on there until we get any questions.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nina Gould, and I just wanted to let everyone know that my son had electrosensitivity starting in 2007, so I became very, very familiar with EMS. I'm going to show you a book. I want everyone to pick it up who's interested in EMS, who either lives within 200 feet of the boulevard on either side, all the way down, or 200 feet, actually more like 600 feet, of the above-ground transmission lines. I want you to get this book. I was very moved, and I knew that the power link was going to pose some extremely high EMFs when they went in, because it's only 3 feet under the ground. If we're supposed to be 656 feet away from a power, from a transmission line, what is 3 feet? Little Kylie, and oh my God, I'm so sad, Bree, that you're here, and I'm so glad that you're here. But little Kylie came down with a neuroblastoma 18 months, when she was 18 months old, and the power link had been on 18 months. I just want to let everyone know that. What is safe? What is safe? They used to say that 2 milligauss and under was safe. Anything over 2 milligauss affects your cells. The cells start mutating. When Travis asked, well, what is a short period of time? A short period of time is taking your hair dryer, blow drying your hair, and turning it off. That's a short period of time. Anything prolonged is anything over 30 minutes. So what are we going to do? Mr. Parent, in the Netherlands, there's a lot of water. And some of the EMF, because they need power too, has been ameliorated, it's been mitigated by, well, I guess I'm going to have to back up a bit. Electricity flows along water. And a lot of EMFs are exacerbated when there's water. The power link went through the creek down Alpine Boulevard. There's going to be a lot of water. So what they did in the Netherlands is they went up and down wherever water flows into people's homes or businesses. They put in a piece of plastic pipe, and it started curtailing some of the EMFs to where you need it to be and not flowing into people's homes, which may be the reason why that I with my Gauss meter.
Did
my Gauss meter can read EMS over 10 milligauss, 200 feet from each side of the boulevard. It could very well be because the creek that's running down Alpine Boulevard, it's also the power lane running down Alpine Boulevard as well, and it's going into people's homes 200 feet on either side. So it might be something to you look into. Also, all these individuals that the children are coming down with cancer, I think it's really important to reach out to Dr. Wooten so that we all are starting to establish a health record, because if this material started happening after the power link went on, we know where this cause is coming from. Now I'm going to turn around and I'm going to show you the book that everybody's going to need to get. It is called Living Safely with Electromagnetic Radiation, A Complete Guide for Protecting Your Health. It is by Jim Waugh, which is spelled W-A-U-G-H. It talks about cell phone towers. It does talk about EMF. It talks about your blow dryer. It talks about your washing machine. It talks about your car. It talks about everything. So this is a really important book to have. You might also want to invest in a Gauss meter. These run about $50 to $75. Now the one that Mike Milligan has runs about $350. If it's worth, it's worth to me to buy these things, because then I know where the source of my EMS are coming from. And you too can measure the boulevard or your home. Now, I also want to let everyone know that Marilyn Dulick has come to my home. And she and I went down to the five-way stop by the women's club, along with Chris Enders here. And she measured the boulevard at 14 milligauss. She did with SDG&E meters. So everyone, arm yourself with knowledge. Make sure that you've gone to your medical professional and they know what your health was. Before June of 2012 and what it is now. And notate how close you are to the boulevard, how often you're on the boulevard, and if you work on the boulevard or have a business. Thank you.
Hello, evening. My name's Chad Barn, recently moved up here to Alpine. You know, obviously I have a young daughter, she'll be attending this school one day. But currently, a mile from here, there's two daycare right on the boulevard where the 6.6 readings are. So we're having our own independent study done to take measurements, and hopefully for the next meeting we'll have that. But, you know, please focus, as a lot of people have been talking about the community itself as a whole. You know, once you want the school itself here to be safe, we want all of it, all of us to be safe. So, thank you.
I'd like to say one thing to Mrs. Wooten, if I can. I'm also a member of the Alpine Planning Group, and I was going to ask Travis, maybe we should think about an ad hoc committee, because I heard this evening there's quite a few folks that have said that they have children or they know of people that have had cancer. So I'd like to try to volunteer or try to bring that information to make sure that you get it. And I'm more than happy to give you my email address. I don't want to be inundated with all kinds of undertitles. So I don't want to give it out because I'll be, all right? So I'd be more than happy to give it to you, and I'd be more than happy to work with Travis, and maybe we can form an ad hoc committee and maybe help along the lines with the people that do have cancer, that we can get the information to Mrs. Wooten, because I think that's very important. And then the final thing is, I want to make sure that SDG&E knows that they will stop and not continue on to increase the power until this EMF problem is resolved.
That's right.
All right. Now, I also said at the beginning of the meeting that there has been studies. There was one by the PUC that also came up with a study on EMF. That's not been addressed. So I want to make sure these things get addressed, all right? And so I guess we're relying on you, Diane. I know you're up for re-election, so I know you're going to play that. Get into it, so we'll see what happens. And I'm more than happy to try to help. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sally Sparko. I live right up here in Alpine Country Village. And I actually had someone that was contracted up through SGDNA come out and do the VMF reading today, just a few hours ago. And I believe that this gal here was talking about 2 millidels being something that can cause effect. And there was a 6.6, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, please, because I came into the meeting late, that this study was done in milligrams, so not the microtesla. And it's my understanding... Correct. And it was my understanding from the couple that came out that it's 110, and I understand that. So for the most part, you know, everything on average, if I were to average the numbers, it would be 1 throughout the house. And this is also, I think of it as being here, we are in the middle of winter, a beautiful day. No one has their AC running, the power is low. It's not like a hot summer day with who knows what's running. I didn't have anything running in the house except 1 television. However, there was one number that really, I don't think I'm going to sleep well tonight about, and it was in my daughter's bedroom, and it was 20 milligrams with nothing running. 20 milligrams. And, you know, the first thing, and let me tell you how this works. They come into your house, and the first one of the first readings they did was they did the microwave clock. Various appliances in your house run on different frequencies, is my understanding. The first one is the microwave clock. And just that alone maybe gives out 4 milligrams or so. But you step back 3 feet and you get it even 1 foot away, you get a different reading. And just like when you're a kid and your mother says, don't stand in front of the microwave, you know, you really don't. And from about 4 feet away, it really is a different reading. But then we went, you know, then they did the microwave, and that was like 55 milligals from 1 inch away, and then you step back 4 feet. But then when we were in my daughter's bedroom, you know, they did, we had a little clock, a digital clock plugged in, and that one had a reading of about 4. And her head is just a few feet away from that, and that was about 2.5 milligals. But then he said, you know, this is really weird. Do you have some other electronics in the room, something under her bed? No, I don't. So then he tried up on the wall, and he got like 14, and then he moved it over, and it got to 20. And also, please let me tell you that when they come in to measure it, when they're in a bedroom, they measure in the center of the bed, because that's the room where your people sleep and where you're getting that radiation. So what it turned out to be was where the electrical runs through the house. It's a 2-story house, and this is upstairs, so without anything running. And it was just surprising to me, you know, that even, you know, they were so kind, these people. And he even said, oh, well, you might reconfigure the furniture in her bedroom. You know, or maybe even, you know, she can move down to the guest room. I think he was joking about this, but I thought, are you kidding me? I might breathe an interior design. And I set up the bed in a certain way, and clearly it's very functional. And to have to move your bed just to be away from it, I just couldn't believe that. But to hear the 14 milligals reading and thinking, oh, wow, that's high, and to have this one is 20 without anything on in the middle of the day. I just want to share that information. And I would really like to have SGDNA come out again, you know, in the summer when things are really going full speed to get a reassessment of those numbers. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you all for coming out tonight. I really wanted to thank Don Parrott for coming, Dr. Wilma Wooten for braving the traffic and everything, Travis Lyon, the chairman from the Alpine Planning Group. But really a huge thank you to Supervisor Jacob. Anytime we call your staff or you give us such great attention, and everybody in the district, you know, really wants to thank you for all your support. As I close, I'm going to work with Supervisor Jacob's office, Dr. Wooten, kind of as a clearinghouse to put out information. The CPUC website connections, email addresses, any information that Dr. Wooten has in regards to studies, she will email it to me, and I will then have it put up on our website. so that we can establish a clearinghouse for this. We will have follow-up. We should be receiving the report on Friday, and as soon as we can, we will push that out to all of you. So I'd like to thank you for coming tonight.
Everybody organized here in the room, don't just think that it's up to these guys up here. It's up to you to make it happen.
Usually I want your time, because I'm actually starting up the hearing committee. It has nothing to do with politics.
No, this is a nonpartisan issue. This is a nonpartisan issue. Nonpartisan issues are very
great. Sorry, I was so voiceless.